Du lyssnar på Tysklandspodden, en podcast från Goethe-Institut Schweden. I den här podcasten står Tyskland i fokus. Du hör samtal om litteratur, aktuella samhällsfrågor och kulturdebatter. Ibland är avsnitten på svenska, ibland på tyska och ibland både och. Det här avsnittet handlar om kriminalromaner. Du hör ett samtal om skillnader och likheter mellan svenska och tyska deckare. Samtalet förs mellan Till Reiter, tysk författare som bland annat skrivit flera böcker om kommissarie Danowski, och Kerstin Bergman, deckarförfattare och docent i litteraturvetenskap.
Well, I think the idea is that we will today talk about Swedish crime fiction and German crime fiction and
yes,
some of the similarities and differences. And partly, I thought we should take our departure from an article that Util wrote, and it was published in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And in that article, you question the current focus on the police heroes in crime fiction and ask the question of what responsibility the crime writer has when it comes to keeping a distance to state authorities and to criticize them, and rather than just reproducing the ideologies and the monopoly mm-hmm. in terms of investigating crimes. And when I read that article, I got the sense that there are some fundamental differences between German and Swedish crime fiction today, despite the popularity of Scandinavian and Nordic crime fiction in Germany. So I thought we should take some of those points as points of departure.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kerstin, for reading the article. I look forward to talking about it.
Maybe you could tell us the title of the article in German, since my German pronunciation is so terrible.
I'm glad you're pointing it out to me, because I wasn't exactly sure what the title was in German anymore, but it says, Die Verantwortung der Krimi-AutorInnen, einige Forderungen an ein obrigkeitshöriges Genre. So it's about the responsibility of crime writers, and the article tries to put into words some stuff that this genre, and I call it obrigkeitshörig, which means that the genre is affirmative to the authorities mm-hmm. and kind of kowtows to the authorities, maybe without wanting to do. But I'm trying to make the argument that it's almost like a structural problem that the police-focused crime novel has, that it's always enforcing and always supporting the point of view of the authorities and of the state authorities mm. and of the structure, of the authoritative structure of the state.
Mm. So why do you think that is a problem in a democracy, that we are...
I think that the that it's normal in a democracy, mm-hmm. Part of the normal process, that some of its structures might be flawed mm. and that there's always avenues and possibilities to change that and to work towards change. But these are structural and societal processes, whereas the crime novel, and this is something mm. that I'm not looking at this through the microscope or telescope. The article comes from my own work as a crime writer, and I was watching myself when I thought, this is really interesting. We're always looking through the lens of the police men or the police women, the detectives, the investigators, and we like to present, this is something that where the German and the Scandinavian, especially the Swedish traditions merge, I think. We like these psychologically damaged investigators mm. who have a lot of psychological and emotional baggage. But I think what happens is that by focusing the crime novel on these investigator characters that have these psychological flaws and have a lot of indoors for the reader's empathy,
mm.
we make the structural problems that can very well be fixed in the democracy and that are up for debate, we make these structural problems private psychological problems
mm.
of investigators.
Yeah.
And when you read this or when you watch television shows, and the German television show, the crime television show, is super focused on the police, mm. much more mm. probably than in Sweden. And this is something that I would like to know more about, because mm. I don't know. You're always There's this feeling, yeah, all these poor people, they're working in this somewhat flawed structure, but they have no choice. They're mm-hmm. under so much pressure, and they're trying to do good work in this flawed structure, but mostly what can they do? You know, so it leads to some sort of resignation and maybe even cynicism. But my main point is that structural problems, which can be changed in a democracy, are made into individual and psychological problems, which I think is
so by weird. Creating empathy for these characters, we are also kind of almost creating.
This is an argument that was made by an American journalist after the murder of George Floyd in 2020, when she said that it was so jarring to, at the one hand, by flipping through her TV channels, you would see the footage of the George Floyd murder by police, and then on the next channel, you would see all these police shows who always take the focus of the police, and they kind of, there was such an outbreak of empathy for George Floyd and his family. It was almost like a shock of empathy because all of a sudden a lot of people saw these pictures and they were thinking, oh my God, this is horrible. I feel for this victim of police brutality. But in the normal crime show, she calls it a school of empathy. This is also something that German scholar Sandra Beck took up. She coined the phrase school of empathy. Kathy van Arendon calls it copaganda. You always take the view of the police personnel and you see them bending the rules and you know it's not quite okay. You see them using a little too much force. Mm. You see them getting in trouble for using brutality to get what they need to do. And you can't help it be on their side. And that's like, I think the school of empathy, I think, is a good point. Do you think it's too police critical? Is it different in?
I think there might be some kind of difference there, because since Sjöwall Wahle, the Swedish authors in the 60s and 70s, we kind of had a tradition in the police novel to also criticize the police, and especially like senior police officers and the security police. Mm-hmm. So there is kind of partly a class perspective, of course, but still that criticism has been kind of built in the into the genre. So that used to be one of the common criticisms in crime fiction, that you criticized your senior officers and your security police and so on.
Shashin, sorry, would like to add something here. I don't want to sound too nitpicky or something. Mm. I'm not, I remember, and you wrote in your book about Swedish crime fiction, The Making of Nordic Noir. I have to apologize. I'm really bad with Swedish names, pronunciations, because in Germany, we are so culturally arrogant. We're just used to pronouncing everything in our German way. Sjöwall Wahle are such important authors also for the German crime tradition, because we didn't really have a crime tradition before the late 60s and 70s, and I think the translation of the Martin Beck novels were such an important motor for German crime fiction, starting in the 60s with the Ho-Ho-Ho thriller, which was like the super important German crime fiction series. But even then, and this is something that I was reminded of when I read your book, it's like Martin Beck and his team, they're like the good cops within a system that is flawed, and I agree with you, that implies a critique, but at the same time you're still on the side of the people who have, I don't think it's about changing the system or questioning the system or questioning power structures. I think it's about the psychology of trying to do good work within a flawed system. And I think that's super valid. And this makes for really interesting stories. And I've tried to do that myself. I see myself in that as a tiny as a tiny part of that big tradition with the policeman that I've written about. But to me, when I think about it, it feels like that's what I mean by resignation. The best you can expect is that there's good people within a flawed structure, but I feel I don't say that that the crime novel should exclusively take the perspective of criminals or of people perpetrating violence.
No, because that would be worse if we romanticized criminals too much. No, exactly. Yeah.
I love those perspectives without, as you say, without romanticizing it. Yeah. But I don't know if I can get my point across, but I feel we're trapped in this loop of always writing about investigators struggling with their superiors and their conscience within a flawed structure, but the structure is like a monolith. It remains the same.
Mm.
But this might be a German perspective because are you familiar with our Tatort tradition, which is such a weird...
I've heard the term, but
German
I don't...
German-specific thing. I will try to explain it to our listeners. And there's a federalist structure in German TV, and the biggest TV channel has like all these local subsidiaries, and every Sunday night there's a 90-minute crime film, and it comes like in rotation from all different kinds of regions in Germany. So every region has their police investigator. There are sometimes the formula is broken, but the formula is very simple. We always follow the police. There's always a murder in the first 5 to 10 minutes, and it's either a whodunit or how is the police going to catch the guy we already know did it. But this is every Sunday, and there's a lot of imitation products, and it's such a big tradition, and it's always within this framework of, the police structure is not great, bureaucracy is not good, sometimes rules get bent, but good flawed people are trying to do good work, and it just seems so repetitive to me. And with the current discussions about trying to address structural racism, sexism, it seems I have no answer. I wrote my own investigator out of his police work. I took him out of the police because I didn't know what to do. It just feels to me like we can't keep repeating this forever. Yeah.
No, I think there are a lot of different interesting points here. I think it was the Swedish crime writer Karin Gerhardsen who once said that, of course I write about the police. They are the ones solving crimes. Yeah. And if I don't write about the police, it's not realistic. So that is one point. And I think the reason why police novels are so popular in Sweden and have been for a long time, because there are a lot of other types of crime fiction other types of investigators in crime fiction. But I think the reason why the police is as hero is popular here is because Swedes in general trust the police and we believe in the police and think they are, for the most part, doing a good job and an important job. And we trust in our state and,
okay.
So maybe that is a slight difference because of... you had the war and
I don't know what you're talking about.
We don't need to talk about the war. No, but maybe there is some kind of trust issue with the police somehow that is different in Sweden and Germany
That's a very interesting point because that's what I've been wondering. I was so fascinated, I can't say envious, when I read I'm familiar with Swedish crime fiction. It's been a huge influence. I think everyone in Europe who's writing crime fiction or has been in the last 10, 20 years writes in the shadow of the Schwedenkrimi, But you write about the Swedish, the tradition of the Swedish crime novel in the 20th century and how it changes after the war and how this modern incarnation of the critical investigator and the social critiques, how that emerges. And you're absolutely right. This whole tradition got cut off in Germany because during the Nazi time, the police were Nazis, literally. Yeah, they all had to enroll the criminal investigators became automatically members of the SS.
Mm.
And so this whole, you could not start writing crime novels in Germany in 1946 and say, well, look at this interesting detective.
No.
You had to start, and this was, it's really fascinating to me. The most popular crime novels in Germany in the 50s and 60s, when you had this great emerging tradition of modern crime fiction, was this nowadays super obscure English crime writer, Edgar Wallace, who wrote mm-hmm. like 100 or 200 crime novels in the 1930s. They're all set in a foggy London or in rural England, and it's always someone who strangles someone, but it's very, very super traditional and almost cozy, you know?
Mm.
And so these got turned into dozens of films. He was the best-selling writer in Germany after the war. And so we never built this tradition. Yes, so we already started, I think, from a position of mistrust, maybe, with the police, I don't know. And then we've had a few really disturbing police scandals in the last couple of years, and they've mostly been related to ultra-right-wing activity within the police. And there is data that I think there are now 400. The German magazine Stern asked all the police prefectures in Germany how many open investigations against super right-wing policemen they have within their force. Not all of them answered, but it came to 400.
Wow.
So you're looking at a structural problem.
And that also really explains your skepticism towards like promoting the police as heroes.
Yeah, but I still that think, individual police people are heroes.
Yeah,
some of my cousins are policemen, and I think they're doing great work and they're wonderful people. But, you know, I'm wondering, like, for example, as a German crime writer, how can I write about someone who works in the German police force, and is the character aware of these, let's call them ultra right-wing conspiracy? Yeah. They have chat groups, and some of them are hoarding weapons and ammunition. So are they aware of it?
Mm.
And then if they are aware of it, how do they act? So it poses an ethical dilemma. But if you want to write about if you want to write a German crime novel that doesn't have anything to do with that, are you then just turning away from it, and you're not recognizing this problem? It's a huge dilemma, I think.
But are there many authors who write crime novels about those problems?
I think it's really interesting that you asked that. I was thinking about what I think the biggest trends in German crime fiction are that I can see. And I think we've had this huge trend with the historical crime fiction, Volker Kutscher and Babylon Berlin and all the everyone who does similar things now. So you're moving
away a little bit, but maybe that could also be discussing the problems, but in a different context.
You're putting the ethical problems. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And then there's an interesting trend. There's a reemergence, I think, of the very socially critical crime novel that writes about poverty and class, which I think is a really interesting thing to address other power structures in society. But then some of my colleagues whom I really like have really... Simone Buchholz is a great crime writer from Hamburg who has a really successful series about a district attorney in Hamburg. But she's kind of taken the crime novel to the realm of magic realism and almost surrealism and like dreamscapes, dissolving the narrative. And then there's another writer, Zoe Beck, who's really interesting at the moment. She writes like near future crime novels where all these societal structures have already kind of crumbled. Mm. And then there's people who... Merle Krüger wrote a really interesting book about German scientists in the 60s inadvertently or, you know, purposefully helping Egypt to build bombs against Israel. And she presents the police as just pretty, you know, clueless and hapless and just not, just, you know, So people are either debating these problems in a historical context, or they're trying to move to totally different realms of writing about police.
Yeah. So they're kind of almost like trying to push out of the crime genre, really, because if you move into supernatural or sci-fi or too much future, you're kind of breaking the genre.
You're right. I was thinking about this on the way here, and I mean, this is anecdotal evidence, obviously, but I know some colleagues who've really moved out of this of the genre because they didn't really. I think there's time for a change, and maybe we. Sweden will have Swedish crime writers will have like the next idea because you led us down this really really influential path, this aesthetic and this kind of dark worldview and the way that globalization came into this is something that the German crime novel ignored for a very long time. Sweden has always set these trends for crime fiction. What has been happening in the last 10 years, and where do you think there was so much innovation it was such an influence? Where do you think the developments are going in the Swedish crime novel, and can we look to that from Germany?
So many points here I want to address.
Sorry.
No, but I think you're very right with Henning Mankell setting a standard for now. We talk about globalism and how that is like affecting Sweden and Swedish politics and what's going on here and so on. I think also that the tradition here in Sweden has been very strong since Sjöwallenvala that crime fiction is the genre where we talk about what's going on in society. So those authors who do want to discuss society and what's going on today, they often use the crime genre.
Okay.
And that means that we have a lot of novels dealing with terrorism, dealing with organized crime and gang criminality and so on, and transnational crime and trafficking and all those things that are kind of present day issues. But that is, of course, part of the crime fiction. Then we have also a lot of other stuff, because until Stieg Larsson, the norm was to write, you know, police novels with social criticism, just like Sjöwallenvala and Mankell, pretty much. But when Stieg Larsson came and became so much more successful than any of the previous authors, people saw that, we don't have to do that. And the kind of key behind Stieg Larsson's success was to a great extent that he played with the crime genre. He took a little bit, you know, whodunit, a little bit police novel, a little bit serial killer thriller, a little bit like youth mystery,
and superhero mixed and played,
of superhero inspired narratives, though keeping it still,
of course,
relatively
yes.
realistic.
But he plays with the genre. Yeah, true. You're right. Very liberating.
And that becomes really interesting and new. And after him, I think most Swedish crime writers and also the publishers have been looking for like originality. So someone who combines different elements from the crime genre in different ways. And that means that both that we had a revival for some traditional genres like the political thriller. We had Jan Guillou wrote political thrillers in the 80s, but he was very lonely and nobody else did that. But that has come back in fashion. And the same thing with whodunits. They, you know, we had those in the until Sjöwallenvala, like before. But then that became unfashionable. But now that is back again. And we get that with a lot of whodunits, a lot of cozy crime, a lot of mixes of police novel and whodunit. So the genre is kind of expanding here too. And of course, some people are touching on the horror novel
but then they are
kind of moving out of the genre. But most people still keep within the genre. And then I guess we could say that there are two main ways to do it. Either you talk about society and what goes on today, or you kind of turn back to historical and local, yes, and family and, yes, personal and all of that. Mm-hmm. And which becomes almost a little escapist, even though it's of course realism to talk about personal issues,
oh,
and
yes,
murders
definitely
too.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of, either you look at the big world, transnational and, mm-hmm, global and all of that, or you look at the small society and the personal. So I would say those are the kind of two main.
Can I ask you a question? I don't know. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, of course.
There's was something that was really interesting when you said in the beginning that the crime novel in Sweden is the way, the genre, or the, yeah,
the literary genre.
The literary,
yeah,
genre to write about, yeah, society.
Yeah.
Is there, in Germany, there is a certain disdain for genre fiction. Mm. And there's a huge, like the most, I would say the one of the two leading newspapers in Germany, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, they have like they have a page or two of literary reviews every day in their culture section, and on every first Monday of the month they have one page and it says crime novels.
Mm-hmm.
So like, every day you get all these. So there's, what I'm saying is there's a very strict distinction,
yeah, border between yeah,
this is serious literature and this is crime fiction.
Mm.
But what you say sounds to me as if in Sweden the crime novel is taken more seriously and is maybe discussed in a more open and in a broader way, or is it similar?
Yes and no. Because
okay.
I still very much see that kind of looking down on,
okay,
crime fiction,
yeah,
too. And my background is in the university.
Mm-hmm.
And there
you're a crime
it's very
fiction scholar.
Clear that,
yes,
you should, you know, work on modernist poetry or something if you're going to be successful. You shouldn't work on crime fiction. And if you want to work on crime fiction, you should look at, you know, book market research or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that has gotten a little bit better lately. But I see the same tendency within the newspapers as you see, that when we talk about crime fiction, most of the time they get their own little space.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a tendency to, in some cultural pages in the newspapers, that they let their regular reviewers review crime fiction. And those reviews are often so bad because they don't know the genre.
I
and
absolutely
they just
agree
said,
with
well,
you, yes,
the language is pretty plain and,
yeah,
there is a little too much action, and you know,
and the story
they have no
follows
idea what
a very familiar pattern.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, it's genre.
Yeah.
It has,
yeah,
rules.
Yeah,
and you have to look very closely. You have to be familiar.
Yeah, and
you
they
have
can't
to be an
see
expert. You have
what's
to, yeah,
original,
exactly,
in,
yeah,
it, or
yeah,
yeah. So
yeah,
that's. But I think the general tendency is that crime fiction is getting a little more credit today, and there are, of course, in Sweden, there are lots and lots just like of authors who, just like you, are journalists,
mm-hmm,
from the start, and often crime,
okay,
journalists, and that are taken seriously in the first place in society. And you know, people like Henning Mankell, who was taken as a serious intellectual. And
yeah.
So there. But there is a wide scope, of course. There is also this very bad simplistic fiction.
Well, of course, yes.
But you know, when you get more of everything. You get more of the good and more of the bad.
But you have the bad formulaic fiction in literary fiction as well,
yes,
I think.
Yes, very much so.
And it's always the majority,
yeah,
so yeah.
And one of the things that I often say is that I think it's much more difficult to write a really good crime novel because you have to keep the suspense all the way, because,
mm-hmm,
you have all these conventions and cliches, mm-hmm, and things to handle. When you write a regular novel, you could just do your own thing, whatever you, however you,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
and it doesn't have to be suspenseful, and it doesn't have to you know,
mm-hmm,
take all these preconceptions into account, and
yeah,
and so I think that is part of what also makes crime novels so interesting, that we have this genre traditions.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And this was, to me, very... I think what you're describing is a really interesting double bind. Or when I started writing crime fiction, my agent told me some very strict rules.
Yeah.
I wanted to write a crime novel about a young woman who loses her job at a women's magazine, because that happened a lot in Germany in the last 20 years, people losing their jobs in journalism. And so she's used to doing research about celebrities, and she becomes a private detective because she has all these tools, but of course she has a very slanted worldview. And I thought I still think it's an interesting character.
Yeah.
But my agent said, now you're starting out. You have to write about a police investigator. It has to be in a touristically interesting place. So don't use Berlin. It's too cliche, too run down. Only Americans go there. Write about Hamburg. And the police office, the investigator has to have some psychological flaw, which is pretty much, you know, this is true for like 99% of crime fiction.
Yeah, that's what you wrote about this in the article, and it's really surprised me. If I would have been an editor, I would rather have picked your woman journalist. Because in Sweden we look for originality much more than to be like everybody else.
I should come to Sweden.
So I think that was one of the points that I thought was very, very interesting, that she...
Well, the positive thing I want to say about that is that I went home and I thought okay, I'm going, because I really wanted to sell that book. I really needed to I needed that contract. And it was such a great moment. I went home and I was a little downtrodden. I thought, okay, I'm going to follow these rules. I'm going to do exactly what he said. And then like half an hour later, I thought, wow, this is great. Someone has told me exactly what to do, but I can do it any old way I please. I can use the formula, and within the formula, you can do whatever you want. So I think it's so interesting. It gives you a structure, it gives you stability, but also it gives you freedom. And that's what I absolutely love about crime fiction and genre fiction. But you're right. This was in 2012, and I pitched my private detective again 10 years later.
Yeah.
And the publisher was still like, nah. I think German crime fiction is very book market driven and very much what is already there. You always, the pitch from the publisher to the booksellers always has to be, this is in the tradition of, this is something like, this is for the readers of. And I feel I haven't reached the status where I'm a best-selling writer and I can make my own rules, but I'm not letting go of that women's magazine character. Yeah. I still like her, and I'm glad you say that. But at the same time, I don't regret that I didn't get to write that, and that I had to write, or was asked to write, about a police investigator, because just as you say, I mean, it's a craft you learn.
Yeah.
And there are certain rules you learn, but then you learn how to bend the rules.
Yeah, because otherwise it's boring.
Yeah, and bending rules is great. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I would like to go back to one. I would also like to talk about more about writing itself and decisions that we make. But I would like one thing I would like to ask you, because I think there's a strange, maybe it's not a contradiction, but I understand what you say about the Swedish public maybe putting more trust in the police. And I see the historical reasons, but it's so interesting. You mentioned Stieg Larsson, and I see a lot of that already in Mankell, and also in Sjöwall Wahlöö. There's this like a paranoid tradition. There's always a bigger conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, you have, I can't pronounce, if you say in Germany, we say Valanda. He's just sitting by the roadside and he's eating his cheese sandwiches and he's having a stomach pain. He's this little David, And then, yeah, he solves a murder, but there's more murders and there's something behind that. And it's already, it starts in the 10 Martin Beck novels. It becomes more and more about this, you know, these societal, they're in the terrorists, there's obviously, there are forces at play that cannot be controlled. And then Stieg Larsson takes this to this ultimate level where it's just these conspiracies and conspiracies within. And we don't have that in Germany. We have the conspiracies, obviously, but we don't have this tradition, like this paranoid writing. There's always more than you. It started, but it started, I think, as a influenced by Swedish crime fiction.
Because you also talk about the kind of lack of closure or lack of restoring
but
order.
That's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that comes from Nordic noir.
Yeah. And that is, of course, related to those big conspiracies and all of that. And but that is part of the tradition. That is, you know, the transnational crime, the big crime syndicates, the big organizations and all of that. But then you also have the, I think you say that maybe you get closure in like the cozy crime, the humoristic crime, and the very local crime. But those... the very local novels are such a big part of Swedish crime fiction. So my reaction was that, well, I think we still actually do get kind of a lot of closures and a lot of murders captured.
Yeah.
If you look at the bulk of... part of the tradition. So, but maybe that's
the same in Germany. We have the tradition of the, what we call regional krimi, where it's super important that every region, every tourist region, but also every city over like 50,000 people or something has their own crime novel series, and sometimes by local publishers, and then there's one or two publishers in the German speaking areas that focus on these crime novels, and they are very regional specific, but then the crimes are very traditional and they always provide closure, because it's either for, you want to have a good time in a region that you love, and so you don't necessarily need the hint at everything. Maybe we healed this one person and they now know who killed their loved ones, but there's so much more going on. No one will ever be happy, everything is horrible. You don't want that. And this is, you're right, this is also the, probably the, if you look at the titles and at the sales figures, probably that's also the bulk, but it's not culturally the most influential in Germany, I would say.
No, but I think it's interesting because in Sweden, that kind of local or regional tradition started when Henning Mankell moved the police novel out from, you know, Stockholm and the big city down to small town Ystad.
That's so fascinating.
And his point was that, okay, this, like, we have drugs and prostitution and everything in every little part of Sweden now, not only in the big cities. When Sjöwall and Wahlöö were surprised that they had it in Stockholm in the 60s and 70s, but then Mankell shows that. And then he became so successful, and he also, you know, with the films they made, and he got the whole backing of the Ystad tourism industry, and they turned Ystad into a tourist hub. And then they made like a copy of that almost in Fjällbacka with Camilla Läckberg's novels. And then they started to, you know, almost ask for, can't you write about our little city?
Oh, that's the same thing has happened
now
in Germany.
We do have that the whole map is filled, basically. And in my own crime novels, I have one protagonist, but she goes to different places in every novel. And that, I realized, makes them more difficult to market because I'm not, you know, the author who writes about this place.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you, I was going to, I'm glad you brought it up, Kerstin. I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about this, but you brought it up yourself. I was going to transition to this because I was so fascinated. When I learned that we were going to talk to each other, I was excited because I'd already seen your book about Swedish crime fiction that came out in 2013 or 14, I think.
14, yeah. I think. Yeah, so it's and so a few which years
is,
back.
Which is great for me because this is exactly the time when I when my first crime novel came out. So I read your book, which is it's a collection of articles that you wrote, but they all...
Yeah, it's kind of based on older articles.
Yes, but it's...
I turned them into chapters.
It's a monograph. It's definitely...
Yeah, it's a monograph,
yeah.
In that sense.
But it covers a lot of subjects.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting for me because when I read it, it was like, oh, exactly. This is what formed me. This is what formed every European crime writer who started in the early 2010s. We all, if we are realize it or not, we all have been heavily influenced by this Nordic noir tradition. And then when I wanted to read more and more recent stuff from you, I saw that you've written, that you pivoted into crime writing yourself. And I read the... I could only read the abstracts of your novels, and I absolutely want to read them. You have to, they sound absolutely fascinating. Yeah. But you made a conscious decision not to place yourself within the tradition of the police novel.
Yes, I would say yes. Well, when I first started writing, I wasn't sure I was going to end up with a crime novel. I was hoping for that because that's a genre that I love. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure really until I managed to kill someone that it would turn into a crime novel. But now I've written three and I'm almost finishing my fourth. And I've gotten into it and I like the kind of concept that I found.
That's absolutely fascinating to me because you went at it exactly the other way around than I did. I got this very clear structural advice on genre and I followed it. And you started with what you liked and what fascinates you. And it took you, the way you just described it is absolutely fascinating to me. It took you to the crime genre almost by itself, it seems. Like the novel took you there because all of a sudden you killed someone.
Yeah, it did. But of course, since I've been working with crime fiction in so many different capacities for so many years, still somewhere in the back of my head, of course, I have the structures and I have the traditions and I have the cliches and I have all of that. But I think if I would have tried to write, you know, a police novel, it would have blocked me more having all that knowledge.
Shashin, it's also a lot of it's so much research. So, it's not if we really talk about the nitty-gritty of writing, it's economically not sensible to write a police novel because you have to invest a lot of time before you can write your first chapter. And that's why I wanted to write about someone from a women's magazine, because I used to work for a women's magazine and I wouldn't have had to do so much research.
Yeah.
I've never, in Germany, there's like a little tradition of critics, literary critics or genre critics, who then transition to writing fiction themselves. Mm. And always, of course, they get scrutinized.
That was a big fear when I put up my first.
But I've never heard of a scholar transitioning to... Maybe some there. No, I don't think I've ever heard of a literary scholar in Germany. But I'm sure it's my blind spot. Mm. How were the reactions of your colleagues and what were your worries when you started?
My worries, because at that time I was supporting myself. I was no longer at the university.
Okay.
I was supporting myself by freelance work as a kind of crime fiction expert, you know, doing lectures, reviews, writing articles, working as a moderator in festivals and book fairs, doing editing work for publishers and so on. So I was really afraid that people would say, oh, if she knows the genre this well, why can't she do something better?
Oh, wow.
So that was my big fear. And that would influence, you know, my kind of trademark as an expert.
Totally get that.
So that was my big fear. But it turned out that the first novel got really good reviews.
I saw that.
Liked it.
I saw that it got really good reviews. And I thought, is this really her as Kerstin Bergman? And then I looked on Goodreads because they obviously it was you, and you have really people love you. They love the character, and I really thought I really need to read this. Okay, so this is another thing that's interesting to me because I think that's a fascinating aspect that sometimes gets left out when talking about genre and genre traditions and everything. It almost sounds like we both came to writing crime fiction or versions of crime fiction for economical reasons. I can say for myself,
you clearly state that.
I did. I felt like my course, I worked as a magazine journalist for such a long time that sometimes when I needed to order archival material about some topic that I wanted to write about, and I found two or three articles by myself, and I thought, I can't keep doing this. I have to do something else. And then obviously journalism as a profession just dwindled away in Germany. Yeah. I don't know how it is in Sweden.
No, but
Germany,
I think it's pretty much the same in Sweden. I know when I started my freelancing, I wrote, you know, letters to every single newspaper in Sweden. And I thought someone would like to have at least a good crime fiction critic.
You would think so, yes.
I didn't get a single reply.
Wow.
So
because probably there wasn't even the person
the magazine
anymore.
I already wrote for. But so that's difficult. But I thought that was really interesting that you said you went into crime writing for economical reasons. And maybe that is because there is a difference because the German market is so big. Because in Sweden, there are very few crime writers who actually makes a living from their books. Then you have to be, you know, one of the top authors, or you have to be translated a lot into bigger markets. Because there is, I wouldn't call it competition, because the crime writers in general are not that competitive.
No, it's the same in Germany.
In
it's a very
sense.
Great.
They're very friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are almost 500 Swedish crime novels coming out every year. And that is a lot in a small language and small market.
That's a lot, yeah.
And after putting out 3 crime novels myself, I still, you know, I get one good salary a year or something. It's not nowhere near getting paid for my time. It's nowhere near being able to support myself by doing this.
It's the same for me. It's the same for me. And at the time, I wrote about this very openly in the article that I had written a couple of nonfiction books, and I had tried to write a, you know, like in the German book market is called upmarket entertainment novel. So like light literary entertainment, but not romance genre. And I just couldn't do it. It didn't work out. I didn't like it. And I met with my agent sort of like, well, what are we going to do now? Maybe we need to dissolve this relationship and I should just switch jobs and become a teacher or something. And then because my mother had always loved crime novels, and as a child, the crime novel, for me, it's interesting in your book when you write about the urban, the function of the urban space. I always liked this urban aesthetic, and it was the great. I sat in this little suburb of West Berlin, and the crime fiction to me was the big wide open world. It was dark but fascinating, and so I said to him, "Well, what about a crime novel?" And I write this in the article. I thought he said, "Yeah, that would be your best shot." I think he said it would be your last shot, actually. But I decided to write a crime novel because I was sure that it would be a commercial success, but just the chances. Because I think 40% of the books in Germany that are being sold are crime novels.
Yeah.
And everything else, nonfiction, you know, tax advice books, everything else is the rest.
Yeah.
And so you just have the best. The lottery is a little bit bigger and the jackpot is a little bit bigger if you write a crime novel. I've written 7 crime novels on, and for the advances and my sales are, I feel the exact same way. It's not easily earned money.
No,
and it's not a normal salary or anything.
The word jackpot is.
You have to keep trying and keep trying. And get the lottery ticket again and again, and maybe get translated, or something else happens. But no, it's not a surefire way.
No, I think it's so much about marketing, and
that is
the difficult part to be one of those authors who gets the marketing budget.
But does your, are your, because I couldn't really tell, it's you when you talk about marketing, your books have a certain aesthetic quality where I think people in Germany would recognize them as crime fiction just from the color grading and the typography. So you are placed in the genre.
So it is crime fiction, but that's kind of the big umbrella. So they are, some critics have talked about them as slow crime in a positive way.
I love that.
That I build suspense by using, you know, the setting and the sentiments and the relationships rather than using a lot of action and drama. And okay. so it's moving forward kind of slow, but it's still somehow suspenseful. And I play more maybe with the whodunit and the psychological thriller a little bit than with, you know, police investigation.
And it seems to me, and again, this is super unscholarly and super uncritical, I'm only judging from the excerpts that I had to put through Google Translate, but you're also working a little bit with suspension of disbelief because your main character, your protagonist, is one of these detectives against their will who kind of stumble into these things within their extended family, which I find absolutely, I love this step when you that you take that in, when you can take that in the genre where you just say, yeah, it's not super real, let's do it anyway because it's nice and it makes for a nice pack. It's just, and it's what I always like, and this is what I get from when you talk about it. It's just always great when you do something because you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So my main character, when I first started, I didn't want to do all that research. Mm-hmm. So I choose like a woman about my age who had lived in the same place as I have. Oh, I did the same
thing with my police investigator.
Just to make it easy for myself.
Yes.
And she's a first person narrator. So we just, you know, follow her thoughts and her interactions and whatever she stumbles into. But that also means that after three books, we still don't know what she's working with, because that hasn't, you know, she has some office somewhere and we still don't know where she lives, because in every single book she goes to a new place.
Oh, this is so fascinating. For some reason.
And we don't know what she really looks like. And you know, it's because we see her from the inside. And some readers are, of course, a little frustrated with that, and some others think it's kind of cool. I'm absolutely
intrigued.
Yeah.
I think we should petition for your books to be translated into
German. That would
and
be
mine
a great
into Swedish.
Thing.
Yeah. Let's try to make it happen. But you know what? This is I'm really grateful. This has been a great little journey for me, because I've been wondering what to do after my police investigator series, which has come to a close with the seventh novel. And I'm in the process of signing a contract for a psychological thriller without the police, just about two families going on vacation and then things going sideways. So very traditional setup, but I'm trying to entertain myself.
Yeah.
But no police at all. No police. But I'm taking away, and thank you very much. It's almost like a gift. I'm taking away the expression slow crime fiction, because that's something I would really love to do in the future.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Kerstin. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing your next series.
Thank you very much, and I would love to read your books.
Thank you.
Du har lyssnat på Tysklandspodden, en podcast producerad av Goethe-Institut Schweden.